The Public News Service Daily Newscast, October the 13th, 2021. I'm Mike Clifford. U.S. Supreme Court justices heard arguments Tuesday in a case involving a 2018 Kentucky abortion law that bans a medical abortion method used after 15 weeks of pregnancy.
The Kentucky law was later struck down as unconstitutional. Attorney Heather Gatnerick with the ACLU of Kentucky explains the issue before the court involves the role of the state's Republican Attorney General, Daniel Cameron.
The issue before the Supreme Court is very specifically about that procedural question. Should the Attorney General have been allowed to intervene at such a late stage after the courts had already struck down the law twice, or did the Sixth Circuit get it right and he shouldn't have been allowed to intervene?
The legislation made it a crime for doctors to use a second trimester procedure known as dilation and evacuation. The 6th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals permanently blocked the law from going into effect last summer. Abortion rights advocates nationwide are closely watching the outcome of the Kentucky case after national protests over the Supreme Court's recent decision to allow a 6-week abortion ban to go into effect in Texas. Nadia Ramlagan reporting.
The Supreme Court is also scheduled to hear arguments in December about a Mississippi law that bans abortions entirely after 15 weeks. The Washington Post reports that investigators in Georgia now haven't found any evidence to substantiate claims that fraudulent or counterfeit ballots were counted in Fulton County during the 2020 general election. That's according to a court filing. The Post notes that former President Trump fixated on Georgia, and particularly on Fulton County, after the November general election, claiming without evidence that fraud in the county contributed to his narrow loss in the state. A new program aims to give underserved students of color extra support to close education and workforce training gaps that have grown worse during the pandemic.
The Racial Equity for Adult Credentials in Higher Education, or REACH, program helps Black, Hispanic, and Native American students deal with barriers to attending community colleges that many white students don't face. Wayne Taliaferro is with Lumina Foundation, co-sponsoring the program in Virginia and 5 other states.
Since 2016, Virginia has been investing in short-term training programs, and then they also allow for students to come back and continue into further study. And so that's something that's like, oh, that's a bright spot that we can maybe build upon.
From the $8 million initiative, he says they hope to see at least a 2% increase in adults of color gaining credits or career advancement over the next 2 years. In addition to Virginia, funding will flow to community colleges in states including California, Colorado, and Texas. I'm Diane Bernard.
This is PNS. Down to Ohio, where a new survey confirms assistance programs have been a lifeline for families reeling from the effects of the pandemic.
The findings from the Center for Community Solutions show nearly all forms of public assistance and benefits saw increased use during the pandemic, with 48% of Ohio households reporting a loss of employment income and 78% struggling to afford living expenses. Lead study author Alex Dorman adds most of the people surveyed said they also experienced food insecurity.
What absolutely shocked me was the high number of lower and middle income households in Ohio that not only were worrying about running out of food, but at one point did experience running out of food during the pandemic and weren't able to overcome that.
In the survey, 40% of households said they've turned to food banks in the pandemic, compared to about 20% who did so before. There was also a 12% increase in the use of unemployment insurance and a 7% increase in people who receive SNAP benefits. Mary Sherman reporting.
And people with Down syndrome are having a bigger impact on society. Their advocates in the Dakota region say it's time for the public to take notice.
October is Down Syndrome Awareness Month. It's widely known that people born with this condition have an extra chromosome that affects their development. But some say there's more to it. Brandon Tillis is with New Directions Down Syndrome Association, which connects parents in a 4-state region, including parts of North Dakota. He feels public perception is being outdated by the lives many with Down syndrome are carving out for themselves.
People with Down syndrome born today have a really good chance of living a life where they're independent, that they get married, that they do all of these things that we expect all individuals to do.
He credits early intervention programs and advancements in therapy for establishing better outcomes. I'm Mike Moen.
And finally, Lily Bolke tells us that environmental groups and tribal communities are asking the Biden administration to stand with Governor Gretchen Whitmer in her call to shut down the Line 5 dual pipelines which run under the Straits of Mackinac.
Canada recently invoked a 1977 treaty to get the U.S. to allow Enbridge Energy to continue using the pipelines and says shutting them down would disrupt Canada's natural gas supply. But the National Wildlife Federation's Beth Wallace points out that Line 5 has spilled more than 1 million gallons of oil into the Straits of Mackinac during its nearly 70-year history.
They are ignoring the pipeline has dozens of locations where protective coating has failed. The pipeline is bent in at least two locations. It continues to be hit by boat anchors undetected.
Line 5 detractors cite a recent spill off the California coast where an underwater pipeline rupture went undetected until tens of thousands of gallons had already entered the ocean. This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported, heard on interesting radio stations. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.